going to talk about three historic days that happened in about a two-month time span, nearly 2,000 years ago. And David mentioned how historic and how monumental the resurrection day of Jesus was. Well, these three days we're going to talk about are probably the tallest mountain peaks of importance in the history of man. And these three days in their chronological order would be day one, what we'll call day one today, the day Jesus Christ was crucified. Day two, that first Easter morning, 3 days later, when early in the morning, Christ arose in victory from the dead, ascended up on high, and led captivity captive, as is told us in Ephesians 1:9. The third mountain peak, important day, we're going to talk about a little bit, is the day of Pentecost, some 50 days later. Day two was dependent upon day one, and day three was dependent on day one and two. Again, each event of these three historic days is monumental, historic, and important to you and to me. On day one, the sweetest man who ever lived, the Holy One of Israel, he's also called the Just One, the only begotten of God the Father. He was the only man who ever lived who knew no sin. He was, on that day one, by God, made to be sin for us, and he did so upon the cross of Calvary. And if you want to turn to some scripture, I'll give you 1 Corinthians 15, but I'm going to give you a part of what was said in Luke 23:44 first, because this day one, the day Christ was crucified, witnessed what is called in Luke 23:44, darkness all over the earth from noon till 3 o'clock. And this was a dark cloud which I also received, how that on day one, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that on day two he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. And our apostle Paul told us in several other places how to receive salvation. One of these places is in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10, 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so our apostle Paul also later in Hebrews 4:16 encourages all of us. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. As a sinner, that's the first time as you come in believing that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and you confess that, that's how you get saved. Okay, we found that what we just read there in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, according to the scriptures, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Well, the scriptures that the Apostle Paul was referencing were what? Old Testament scriptures. And you can write this down, but we're not going to turn to any of those other than you can turn to Isaiah 53. There's some key chapters that describe the death and resurrection of Jesus, and these can be found in Psalm 22, the whole chapter. Isaiah near Psalm 69, the whole chapter, Isaiah 53, the whole chapter, and we'll read a couple more in a moment. I had you turn to Isaiah 53, and we find in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, some of what Christ Jesus accomplished upon day one, the day he was crucified. It says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs," he did that on the cross, "and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." I found it interesting that the word stripes is found 17 times in Scripture. You knew I'd probably get to a number in somewhere along the way here, right? Because we did a number study a long time ago now. But 17 is the number that points to victory in Jesus Christ. This victory Jesus Christ himself accomplished upon the cross when he cried, "It is finished." You can read that in John 19:30. Okay, turn to 1 Peter 2. And we'll find that Peter, and we've been studying a lot about Peter in our Sunday school class in recent weeks. Peter quotes from Isaiah 53 when he writes what he writes there in 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 21. We'll start in about the middle of the verse. 1 Peter 2:21, we read, "Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." He's speaking of Christ when he says in verse 22, "who did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth," verse 23, "who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree," on the cross, "that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And he's quoting Isaiah there again, 53:5 we read. go to Matthew 12, and I'll give you a couple while you're turning there of other Old Testament scriptures where we read how Christ, the Holy One, would not see corruption, and one of those is found in Psalm 16, 10 and 11, and also Hosea 6, 2. That verse also points out that on the third day, he would raise up, it says. What did Jesus preach from? Old Testament scriptures. He is the Word of God. So anything he said was the Word of God. It was all truth. It was always truth. And he said, Jesus said, in Matthew 12:40, and he's quoting from Jonah 1:17 when he says what he says here in Matthew 12:40. "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Well, Jesus is telling them about day two of our story, which is Easter, first day of the week, Resurrection Sunday. Now, as you take the time to study Matthew 12, you'll find that Jesus' disciples were with him and heard him say, "The Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Okay. What verse did I have you turn to? Something in Matthew? Where? Okay, we just read that. We're going to go in a moment to Matthew 16. But in the meanwhile, I'm going to talk about some verses in John 2. And we know in John 2, if you'll study that chapter, that Jesus' disciples were with him when he overthrew the tables of the money changers in the temple. And this conversation took place, found in John 2, 16. Jesus says, "Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise." In verse 18, Jesus says, or that we read, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" Verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple," he was talking about himself, "and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was his temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But, verse 21, but he spake of the temple of his body. His disciples heard him as he said this. His disciples heard him as he read there and referenced Jonah. Okay, now Matthew 16, we're going to read another time when Jesus' disciples heard him say that he would be killed and raised again the third day. Matthew 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show who? His disciples. Well, that would be the ones that were closest to him, the ones that were following him. That would include the 12, okay? How that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So that's the third different time we've read this. Then go to Matthew 20, a few chapters later, still a later time, a different time. Here's the fourth time. Matthew 20:17, Jesus again informs his disciples that he would be killed and raised again 3 days later. He's starting Matthew 20:17, and Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him." And they knew that meant be killed. That was our day one. "And the third day he shall rise again." That's our day two of our lesson today. So we've just read of four separate and different occasions where Jesus informed his closest followers, his beloved disciples, that he would be crucified and killed and would rise again the third day. That brings us to our second mountain peak day of importance. We're calling day two today. That first Easter morning, 3 days after day one, and while it was still dark, and I'll have you go to Luke 24 for this one. Jesus rose from the dead just as he said he would in those four accounts of scripture we just read. And so we would have thought that Jesus' disciples would have known and would have been confident of the fact that Jesus would rise again on the third day after he was crucified, just as he had told them these four separate times. Yet, as the Apostle John told on himself and the others in John 20, verse 9, which we read earlier, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. I don't know how hard it would be to sleep through what Jesus was telling you, if he was telling you something, but phew, we went right over him, didn't it? How often do we have the same thing happen to us? And then we finally hear it one day in our heart and go, oh, I didn't know that. But you did. But you never listened to it. And I'm not accusing anybody. I'll accuse myself, okay? So, like we said earlier, Jesus was the Word of God. Revelation 19:13 tells us this. He had spent 3 years with his closest followers telling them these things. He was teaching them the scripture and opening the scripture to them. So how is it that John, and he thought about this for a long time before he wrote what he wrote there in John 20, he thought about that for approximately 55 years before he wrote the gospel according to John. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. I had you turn to Luke 24. All four gospel records record Jesus' resurrection. Our day two in this study. And we're going to read 11 verses in Luke 24, the first 11 verses. We get the flavor of what happened on this first Easter. It says, now, upon the first day of the week, the first day of the week is Sunday. The first day of the week, we know that that particular day as we remember the day of resurrection as Easter. Very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away. Discussing the facts of what happened between our day two and day three, and we're still discussing this in our studies. These day two and day three of our lesson today are called, we're still calling them the tallest mountain peaks of importance in the history of man. The third day, we'll get to it, is 50 days after this historic day two. It's the day of Pentecost. The next 40 days beyond day two when Jesus arose from the dead, we find in Acts 1:3. I want you to turn there because you read it and you go, oh yeah, let's read verse 4. Okay, let's read verse 5. Okay, let's read the chapter. But let's read verse 3. And when you read, take time and pause a little bit, see what it says. Acts 1:3. And we find that our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. You can argue with this. Being seen of them, 40 days? Doesn't say off and on. It says 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Well, 40 is the number of perfect testing, right? It's often emphasized in scripture, the number 40. We find various tests of the Old Testament where these faith were endured by 40 days or 40 days and 40 nights or even 40 years. And the tests were given them to prove to them that God is faithful and has given them also to prove their faith in God. Wonder why he appeared unto the disciples and those followers of his and gave them many infallible proofs for 40 days so that they couldn't argue later that this never happened. Infallible proofs. And it seems that Jesus' closest followers, his disciples, the ones that went on to be his kingdom apostles, seemed to need the most convincing that he did indeed arise from the dead, as he told them many times during his earthly ministry that he would. So as we read above here in Acts 1:3, it took our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, 40 days of showing himself alive by many infallible proofs to erase all doubt from their minds that he was indeed alive. He ate with them during this time. He instructed them during this time. He still loved them with that agape love we've been talking about. He fellowshipped with them. He further expounded unto them the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures concerning himself. He also allowed them to touch him, to feel him, to put their hands in the prints of the nails in his hands and feet, giving them indisputable, unarguable evidence that he was indeed alive. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Our Apostle Paul writes that he was seen of Peter on the day of his resurrection. And we find and have found in our recent studies that Jesus made on that day one of the day of his resurrection, he made five appearances that day to different ones, separate appearances unto his followers. And Acts 1:3 informed us that the next 39 days were just like this. In John 21, we've been studying that, and we'll continue, if the Lord tarries, next time we get together, studying about John 21. But it gives details of just one such day. It was an important day because I think that was a turning point day, that day in John 21. Because after that, we don't find any mention again of Jesus' disciples not believing that Jesus was indeed risen from the dead. So I had you turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll read verses 5 through 7, where the Apostle Paul writes a quick snapshot of what happened during these 40 days when Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. 1 Corinthians 15, 7, it says, "And he was seen of Cephas," that's another name for Peter, "then of the 12, that happened on day 1, except for Thomas, that happened on day 8. Verse 6, "After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once." It'd be kind of hard to argue with 500 people that they didn't see him, because he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. He was seen above 500 at once. And Paul writes, because this is, he's writing this way after this time, "Of the greater part remain unto the present." Some are still alive, in other words, but some are fallen asleep, have gone on to be with the Lord. "After that, he was seen of James." James was one of his brothers, one of the children of Mary and Joseph. Why did he appear unto James? James didn't believe that he was the Messiah, the Christ. And then he was seen again of all the apostles. Okay, we get a few minutes here to talk about. There were 50 days between our day 2 and our day 3. Day 3 is the day of Pentecost. And Jesus' disciples, which also includes these 500 or more than 500 brethren Paul wrote about, they had all witnessed Jesus manifesting himself to be alive by many infallible proofs, as we read there in Acts 1:3. And on the day of his resurrection, Jesus told his disciples in Luke 24, verses 46 through 48, "It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." But they weren't equipped yet to to preach and be the witnesses that he informed them that they would be. And then go to Acts 1:8. And this is 40 days past day two. Jesus made his last appearance unto his followers. And his last words to them before being taken up into heaven are recorded in Acts 1:8. And he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So, in his own way, Jesus was again telling them that in order to be fully equipped to be the witnesses he told them they would become, they would need the power of the Holy Ghost in their lives. In Luke 24:49, these record some more of Jesus' final words before he was taken up into heaven. And he said to them, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Turn to Acts 2. That power from on high was the Holy Ghost that was sent to them on our mountain peak day three. This historic day three is the day of Pentecost. And we'll read a few verses in Acts 2, starting in verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began here on our mountain peak day three to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." As you continue to read Acts 2, you'll find that by the end of the day, Peter, of all people, the guy who denied Jesus three times on that day one, early that morning, Peter, he preached his first sermon. He could only do so because he was now full of the Holy Ghost. Peter, after he preached this sermon, we find that about 3,000 souls were saved that day. Go to Acts 4:33. The power of the Holy Ghost continued to increase after this mountain peak day of Pentecost, day three. And we read in Acts 4:33, "And with great power, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." That day two that David referenced today, that highest day when Jesus arose from the dead, Easter Sunday morning, "with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Go to Acts 5, verse 12. We're going to run out of time, but we can read this one. In Acts 5:12, we read this, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." And verse 14, "And believers were the more added unto the Lord, both multitudes of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and they were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." How important were these 3 days? How important are they in your life?